Good news first. Cheer me up. I think the Toyota thing might be okay. Might be? It's complicated. We got Beck's shipping schedule from U.S. Customs. All his stuff comes out of Odessa. It's in the Ukraine, on the Black Sea. Yeah, I know where it is. Plausible point of origin for rugs. They come north through Turkey from all over. But Odessa is a heroin port, from our point of view. Everything that doesn't come here direct from Colombia feeds through Afghanistan and Turkmenistan and across the Caspian and the Caucasus. So if Beck's using Odessa, it means he's a heroin guy. And if he's a heroin guy, it means he doesn't know any ecstasy dealers from Adam. Not in Connecticut, not anywhere. There can't be a relationship. No way. How could there be? It's a completely different part of the business. So he's starting from scratch as far as finding anything out goes. I mean, the Toyota plate will give him a name and an address, sure, but that information won't mean anything to him. It's going to be a few days before he can find out who they are and pick up their trail. That's the good news? It's good enough. Trust me, they're in separate worlds. And a few days is all you've got anyway. We can't hold those bodyguards forever. What's the bad news? She paused a beat. It's actually not impossible that someone could have gotten a peek at the Lincoln. What happened? Nothing specific, just that security at the garage maybe wasn't as good as it might have been. What does that mean? It means we can't say for sure that something bad didn't happen. We heard the truck's roller door rattle upward. It banged against its stop, and a second later we heard Elliot calling us urgently. We stepped over there expecting to find something good. We found another transmitter instead. It was the same tiny metal can with the same 8-inch filament antenna. It was glued to the inside of the sheet metal near the loading door, about head height. Great, Duffy said. The load space was packed with rugs, exactly the same as we had seen before. It could have been the same van. They were rolled tight and tied with rough string and stacked on their ends in descending order of height. "Do we check them?" the old guy asked. "No time," I said. "If somebody's on the other end of that transmitter, they'll figure I'm entitled to maybe 10 minutes here, nothing more." "Put the dog in," Duffy said. A guy I hadn't met opened up the rear of the DEA van and came out with a beagle on a leash. It was a little fat, low-slung thing wearing a working dog harness. It had long ears and an eager expression. I like dogs. Sometimes I think about getting one. It could keep me company. This one ignored me completely. It just let its handler lead it over to the blue truck, and then it waited to be told what to do. The guy lifted it up into the load space and put it down on the staircase of rugs. He clicked his fingers and spoke some kind of a command and took the leash off. The dog scampered up and down and side to side. Its legs were short, and it had a problem making it up and down between the different levels. But it covered every inch, and then came back to where it had started, and stood there with its eyes bright and its tail wagging and its mouth open in an absurd, wet smile like it was saying, "So, where's the action?" "Nothing," its handler said. "Legit load," Elliot said. Duffy nodded. "But why is it coming back north? Nobody exports rugs back to Odessa. Why would they?" "It was a test," I said. "For me. They figured maybe I'd look, maybe I wouldn't." "Fix the seal," Duffy said. The new guy hauled his beagle out, and Elliot stretched up tall and pulled the door down. The old guy picked up his soldering iron, and Duffy pulled me away again. "Decision?" she said. "What would you do?" "Abort. The Lincoln is a wild card. It could kill you." I looked over her shoulder and watched the old guy at work. He was already thinning the solder join. They bought the story. Impossible not to. It was a great story. They might have looked at the Lincoln. I can't see why they would have wanted to. The old guy was finishing up. He was bending down, ready to blow on the join, ready to turn the wire dull gray. Duffy put her hand on my arm. "Why was Beck talking about the Uzis?"
"I don't know." "All done," the old guy called.
"Decision?" Duffy said. I thought about Quinn, thought about the way his gaze had traveled across my face, not fast, not slow.
thought about the 22 scars, like two extra eyes up there on the left of his forehead. I'm going back. I think it's safe enough. They'd have gone for me this morning if they had any doubts.
Duffy said nothing. She didn't argue. She just took her hand off my arm and let me go.
Chapter 5. She let me go, but she didn't ask for her gun back. Maybe it was subconscious. Maybe she wanted me to have it. I put it in the back of my waistband. It felt better there than the big Colt had. I hid the spare magazines in my socks. Then I hit the road and was back in the lot near the Portland docks exactly 10 hours after I left it. There was nobody waiting there to meet me. No black Cadillac. I drove right in and parked. Dropped the key in the door pocket and slid out. I was tired and slightly deaf after 500 highway miles. It was 6 o'clock in the evening, and the sun was way down behind the city on my left. The air was cold, and dampness was blowing in from the sea. I buttoned my coat and stood still for a minute in case I was being watched. Then I wandered off. I tried to look aimless, but I headed generally north and took a good look at the buildings ahead of me. The lot was bordered by low offices. They looked like trailers without the wheels. They had been cheaply built and badly maintained. They had small, untidy parking lots. The lots were full of mid-range cars. The whole place looked busy and down-to-earth. Real-world commerce happened there. That was clear. No fancy headquarters, no marble, no sculpture. Just a bunch of ordinary people working hard for their money behind unwashed windows lined with broken Venetian blinds. Some of the offices were bumped-out additions built onto the sides of small warehouses. The warehouses were modern, prefabricated metal structures. They had concrete loading platforms built up to waist height. They had narrow lots defined by thick concrete posts. The posts had every shade of automotive paint known to man scraped on them. I found Beck's black Cadillac after about 5 minutes. It was parked in a rectangle of cracked blacktop at an angle against the side of a warehouse near an office door. The door looked like it belonged on a house in the suburbs. It was a colonial design, made from hardwood. It had never been painted, and it was gray and grainy from the salt air. It had a faded sign screwed to it. Bizarre Bazaar. The script was hand-painted and looked like something from Haight Ashbury in the 60s, like it should have been promoting a concert at the Fillmore West, like Bizarre Bazaar was a one-hit wonder opening for Jefferson Airplane or the Grateful Dead.